Blog Talk Radio.
Change my heart, oh God. Make it ever true. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you.
Yeah.
Change my heart, oh God.
Change my heart, oh God.
Make it ever true.
Yes, Lord Jesus.
Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you.
You are the Father.
Yes, change my heart, oh God. May I be more like you. Change my heart, oh God. May I be like you. That should be all of our prayer on today. Today is March the 6th, 2013. And that should be our prayer. Change my heart, oh God. May it be like you. That should be our prayer. We want to be more and more like Christ every day. We want to be more and more like we are children of God every day. We don't want to continue to act like our former or our previous father, the devil. We want to be like God. We want to be like Jesus. We want to let people know who we belong to, not necessarily so much about what we say, but what we do, how we live our lives. Someone asked us one time, well, it was just a statement out there, a question out there. If you were arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to hold you? Would there be enough evidence to convict you? Would there be enough evidence to charge you for being a Christian? And that's one of the questions that we want to ask today, that if we were arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence for them to charge us for being such? Amen. So before we go on, we want to go ahead and have prayer for this broadcast. And we're going to ask Lady Keisha if she would give us a prayer for this broadcast. Amen. Lady Keisha. Okay, she can't hear me right now. I don't know. Lady Keisha. Okay, well, we'll put that back on hold. And Bishop Scott, are you available? Bishop Scott?
Hello?
Are you available to pray?
Yes, I am.
All right.
Praise the values and prayer. Gracious Father and God, we as humble servants come before your divine majesty, seeking your divine presence through your Holy Spirit in this service, I call it. Well, that's what it is. We're lifting up the name of your son, Yahshua, Jesus the Christ. And we come, Lord, as humble as we know how, before your divine majesty, Lord, asking that you will just bless and that you will anoint whatever is said and whatever is done in this program and on this program this afternoon. Lord, I ask that you will just be with our hostess, dear Father, as she continues to bring guests and other people and other music and other things that will edify, encourage, and even challenge us to a deeper walk with you. Lord, I ask that you will be with Prophetess Keisha this afternoon, Lord, that you will anoint her, Father, that you will give her the words to say that she will decrease in order for your Holy Spirit to increase in her so that she may teach us what we must do to be more like you. And now, Lord, we ask that you will be with all of those persons that host and co-host Blog Talk Radio and Blog Talk Television and other internet social networking, that whatever they do, Lord, that is for you and for your glory, we ask that you will bless their efforts and all that they endeavor to do. And now, Father, we ask that you will just take us and lead us into your perfect will, and we'll give you all the praise, the honor, and glory in the precious name of your Son, Yahshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Bishop Scott, for that prayer. And what we're going to do is we're going to go to another song before we get into the message. But for those that are listening via telephone or another way, if you're not in the chat room, I actually have the scriptures in the chat room that we're going to be going over. And we're going to be going over Romans chapter 6. We'll also be reading Psalm chapter 19, verses 13 and 14, as well as 19, verse 9. Again, that's Romans chapter 6, Psalm 19, verses 13 and 14, and Psalm 119, verse 6. We will be reading more scriptures, but those are the basic ones. So if you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and turn to those scriptures. Amen. And we're going to go ahead and play one more song for right now, and then as soon as we come back, I have a couple of brief announcements, and then we'll go forth and go into the Word. Amen. Okay.
Thank you.
Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Amen. And I know I can't sing, but it doesn't matter because I have a praise on the inside. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. God bless you, Bible Truth by Benny and Pastor McKenzie, Pastor Sydney McKenzie. God bless you, guest 9267. Thank you so much for joining us tonight. God bless my husband. Glory to God, Bishop Gerald Scott. And for those of you who don't know, I'm just a little bit excited tonight because I got a report from my doctor today. About 6 weeks ago, they were looking for cancer in my stomach, and a report came back, no cancer. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So I'm just a little bit excited today, and I can't stop praising his name because guess what? God has been so mighty, 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 mighty good to me. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So I don't know about you. I don't know what your testimony is, but I know what mine is, and God has redeemed me. Hallelujah, hallelujah, and I thank God so much for what he has done for me. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I thank God. I really do. I thank God for what he's doing. Hallelujah. So God is awesome. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. And even if the report didn't come back favorable, God is still awesome in all his ways. Amen. Glory to God. And he wants praise, not just because he heals us, not just because he blesses us with things, not just because he can do this or do that, but God wants praise because he is God. Hallelujah. And he's worthy of all the praise. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There is no other God besides him. Hallelujah. There is no other God like this God that we serve. Hallelujah. The true and living God, the creator of the heavens and earth. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So we just thank God tonight. Hallelujah. We're happy tonight. We're so happy. We're so happy. We're so happy because God is so gracious to us. Hallelujah. He saved us from our sin. I know. I thank God for making that provision for us, because if he hadn't made that provision for us, we'd still be in our sins on our way to where? Hell. Glory to God. But I thank God that he delivered us. He saved us and he set us free. Amen. Glory to God. So let's just say thank you while we have the chance. Let's tell God thank you while we have breath in our body, because once we hit that grave, we can't say thank you anymore. We'll just be there. Hallelujah. We can't say thank you anymore after we hit the grave. So let's praise him now while we have the chance. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hey, Patriot Greg, he's joining us tonight. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And tonight we're going to talk about sin. We're going to talk about, are we still serving sin? This is something that, you know, we need to discuss as believers. It says, sin shall not have dominion over you. And that's a confession that we should make every day once we get up and tell God thank you and pray. We should say to ourselves, sin shall not have dominion over me. And one of the reasons why we want to have this discussion on tonight is because there are so many people, so many. And I was looking at Facebook today, and I was looking at a particular person, and they were saying things about how this isn't sin and that isn't sin. They were talking about drinking and they were talking about smoking, you know, how that's not sin. But as believers, there's some things that we need to discuss and some things that we need to, you know, get clear about. And though the Bible does not talk specifically about smoking, the Bible does talk about drinking. And drinking, you know, if you are a casual drinker and you don't have a problem with drinking, that's something you need to take up with God. But the Bible does teach us that be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. It says, but rather be filled with the Spirit. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit of God. He's not talking about being filled with wine and spirits. He's talking about being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. So if you're going to drink and you go and it's going to lead to drunkenness, I would say don't drink at all. I would say don't drink anyway, for real, for real. But if that's what you do, you need to take that up with God, because it'll lead to more ungodliness. Anything that you do that you shouldn't really do is going to lead to more ungodliness. And some people just say, well, I have a drink, you know, now and then, and I do this and I do that. But, you know, I can't tell you what to do in your house. I can't tell you what to do. But what I do say is don't do stuff that's going to lead to more ungodliness. That's what I say. And if you start delving into things that's going to lead to ungodliness, next thing you know, you're going to be doing this and you're going to be doing that. I don't see any great benefit in drinking wine. Doctors will tell you you can drink wine for this, that, and the third, but I don't know what the great benefit is. But again, that's your conviction and that's what you have to deal with. We want to talk about things that are sin. And there's a lot of chapters that we could go to in the Bible, talk about walking in the flesh, and versus walking in the Spirit. Don't walk in the flesh. Don't walk in the flesh. Don't walk in the flesh, because if you walk in the flesh, then you're against God. Those that are in the flesh cannot please God. That's what the Bible says. I didn't write it. It says those that live by the flesh cannot please God. Let's go to Galatians 5:16. Let's see what that says over there. Galatians 5:16. It says, this I say then, this is the King James Version, this I say then, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Galatians 5:16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Another translation says, let me explain further. Live your life as your spiritual nature directs. directs you, then you will never follow through on what your corrupt nature wants. Then you will never follow through on what your corrupt nature wants. Okay? So walk in the Spirit, and we don't have to worry about the drinking and smoking. If we walk in the Spirit, we don't have to worry about the lust and the other things that our flesh wants to do, wants us to do. We're not that old person anymore. We're not that old person anymore. We have become new creatures in Christ Jesus. Old things are supposed to be passed away, and all things are supposed to become made new. Right? We're not supposed to continue to act like our old nature. And I'm pausing for a second because someone's asking me for the phone number for the broadcast, and I'm trying to do double duty right here. So let me give her the phone number to the broadcast right quick. 323-693-3054. Okay, and I got people, it seems like at 5 o'clock I get a lot of people trying to contact me during the broadcast time. Hallelujah, but God is so good. Amen. So we're supposed to be new creatures in Christ Jesus. Old things are supposed to be passed away. That's what the Bible says, if any man be in Christ. See, and I like that part. It says, if any man be in Christ, and not if any man be in his flesh, but if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. And a lot of problems that I see with people is that they try to be a new creature without being in Christ. They try to stop doing this and stop doing that, but they're not in Christ. They're trying to do it out of their own flesh, out of their own selves. But God wants us to walk in the Spirit. He wants us to take on the new man. He wants us to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. And if any of you have been on any of my broadcasts, you know that I love Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2, because it talks about being transformed by the renewing of your mind, being transformed. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And this is what the Word of God teaches us. But again, what a lot of us try to do is we try to do this stuff. We try to do it in our own self. We try to do it, you know, on our own accord instead of trusting God to help us and instead of helping the Holy Spirit to help us get through this. See, we need the Holy Spirit to help us to mortify the deeds of our flesh. And tonight we want to talk about presumptuous sin. We want to talk about how can a young person or how can anybody cleanse their ways? We want to talk about the Word of God tonight because we don't want it to be, well, she just made this up. No, I didn't just make it up. I didn't make it up. This is what the Word of God says. And we'd do good if we would just go ahead and obey the Word of God. But we can't obey the Word of God if we don't read the Word of God. If we don't cherish the Word of God, if we look at the Word of God, oh, yeah, this is just a book. It's just something, you know, somebody wrote. And, you know, we don't read it and we don't care for it as if it's a letter from God to us, something that he wants us to do. We're not going to change our ways. We're not going to realize that we've been brought with a price and realize that we've been born again. Nicodemus said, how can a man be born again? Can he enter the second time in his mother's womb? Now, we all are intelligent people and know that we cannot enter the second time into our mother's womb, okay? But we get born again, our spirit man gets born again, then we begin to change our mind, our old way of thinking, get rid of these old mindsets, and begin to regenerate ourselves with the Word of God so we can see what the Word of God says, so we can know what we've been renewed from and reborn, why we had to be born again, because we were born in sin. Okay, and everybody that was born in sin is destined to go to hell. But God sent his only begotten son, Jesus, that so whoever believeth on him should not perish, but have left everlasting life. And this is the part of being regenerated, being reborn again. So we don't have to serve our former father, the devil. Our former father, the devil. Oh, we belonged to him, belonged, B-E-L-O-N-G-E-D. We don't belong to him anymore since we've given our lives to Jesus Christ. We don't belong to Satan anymore. Therefore, we don't have to serve sin. Sin does not have to be our master anymore.
anymore. We don't have to serve sin. And if we serve sin, if we are keeping up with presumptuous sin, if we keep going back doing the same stuff over and over again, we have allowed sin to become our master. We have allowed sin to become our master. If sin has dominion over us, then it has become our master. And as born-again believers, sin should not have dominion over us. Okay, let's go to the Word of God. Let's go to the Word of God. Romans chapter 6. If you have your Bibles, Romans chapter 6. If you don't have your Bible, you can go to the internet and go to Bible Gateway or somewhere and get the Word of God. I like people to read the Word of God along with me because I want you to know that I didn't make it up. Okay? Romans chapter 6. All right? Let's start at verse 11. It says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, I titled this broadcast, Sin Shall Not Have Dominion Over You. And I asked the question, does sin still have dominion or power over you since you've professed salvation through believing in Jesus as the Son of God? Okay, this says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Dead unto sin. If we're professing Jesus Christ as our Lord, we're supposed to reckon ourselves. We're supposed to consider ourselves to be dead unto sin. We're supposed to consider ourselves now no longer. Sin is not supposed to be alive in us anymore. Because we're professing Jesus Christ as our Lord. We're believing that Jesus is the Son of God. And Jesus came to redeem us from sin. Jesus came to deliver us from sin. Jesus came to pay our price from sin. So sin should be dead to us. We're supposed to reckon ourselves dead unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ. So we need to take Jesus Christ with us every single day, every time we get up in the morning. Father God, I thank you for another day. Jesus, I thank you for your atonement. I thank you for what you did for me at the cross. I thank you what you did for me before the cross because you were wounded for my transgressions. This sin that keeps so trying to easily beset me, you were wounded for my transgression. You were bruised for my iniquities and the chastisement of my peace was upon you. And with your stripes, I'm healed. I'm healed from this bond of iniquity. I'm healed from this bondage of sin, God, and I thank you for that. Holy Spirit, please go with me throughout this day that I sin not against God. See, those are the kind of thoughts that we should have towards God, that it won't be so easy for us to sin on purpose. I'm talking about sinning on purpose. I'm talking about sinning on purpose. Psalm chapter 19 says, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let it not have dominion over me. Let it not have dominion over me. Let it not have power over me. Let it not have rulership over me. Let it not have lordship over me. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sin. Let it not have dominion over me. I'm reading out the King James Version. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. Keep back your servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have power over me. Let them not have power over me. Now, I looked up the word presumptuous, and the word presumptuous, the adjective verge of that is going beyond what is right. Or proper, going beyond what is right or proper, okay? Going beyond what is right, going beyond the word of God. You know that it's not right to fornicate, but you're still fornicating. You know it's not proper to go out and steal, but you're still stealing. You know it's not proper to go out and cause strife and division amongst the brethren, but yet you're still going out causing strife and division among the brethren. You know that God does not want you to swear. He doesn't want you to have ungodly character, but you're still going out having ungodly character, still drinking, still, you know, being a lesbian, still being a bisexual and a trisexual and all that other stuff. And you know God doesn't like that, but you still do it anyway. But then I'm talking about people who are calling on the name of Jesus, people who have said they are born again. I'm not talking about people who are out there in the world because they're doing just what their father tells them to do. They're doing just what they're supposed to do as people who have not been regenerated, who have not been reborn. I'm talking about those of us who have said that we are born again, those of us who have confessed Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. This is who I'm talking about, that we're doing presumptuous sin. And David said, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sin. He said, let them not have dominion over me. That's what David prayed. Let them not have dominion over me. And that's what we should pray. And then the verse after that, if you would read it, it says, let the words of my mouth. Turn to it if you have it. I'm about to turn to it right now. Because when I was a little girl, we learned this scripture, Psalm 19:14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And maybe we should pray this every day. This says, okay, let's read Psalm 19. And we want to start at verse 7. It says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Y'all should underline that in your Bibles. Chapter 19, verse 12. Who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Verse 13 says, keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be the great transgressions. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Did y'all hear that? Did y'all hear that? Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. And if we would live by this, I don't think it would be a lot of people still going forth in presumptuous sin. You say, oh, well, Jesus died for the sins of the world. He sure did. But if you keep on sinning and you keep on sinning and you professing Jesus, let me tell you something. There's no more sacrifice for sin. Jesus died once. He's not dying again for your sin. Jesus died once. He's not dying again. He's not going to the cross again. He's not getting beat again. Wounded for our transgressions. He already did that once. He's not doing it again. So we have to do something. We have to make a conscious decision that we're going to study the Word of God. And we want to study the Word of God because we want to live right before God. We want to live holy. We want to live holy. We want to be right before God. We want to be right before God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We want to be right before him. Right before him. And the only way we can do it is through the study of his word. Why? Because God is his word. Jesus was the flesh. Jesus came. He was the word coming in flesh. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. the word. Jesus is this is the word. The word of God is living. The word of God is life. The word of God is truth. The word of God, just so we got finished reading in Psalms 19. It says the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Psalm 19, verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. And we need to be converted. We need to be converted. Our minds need to be transformed. And so many of us want to be conformed to the world. We still want to live in 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 the world. But we can't live in the world and serve God too. We can't live in the world and serve God too. We can't do it. And FaithWorks is on here, and I have FaithWorks. I don't know who you are, but we know what John 3:18 says. And you're saying that the only sin which condemns is unbelief. And if you don't believe the word of God, you're going to continue to live in sin. If you don't believe the word of God, you're not converted if you don't believe the word of God. If we believe the word of God and obey the word of God, we will not live in sin. Okay? The works of the flesh is against God. If we're constantly doing what the works of the flesh tell us to do, we're not pleasing God. Those that are in the flesh cannot please God. The word says that too. Those that are in the flesh cannot please God. So if we're living in the flesh, we are not pleasing God. We're not pleasing God. We're not pleasing God. Without the law, we wouldn't even know that we were unrighteous. Without the law, we won't even know that we're unrighteous. But what I'm going to ask you to do, FaithWorks, is I'm going to ask you to chill, because if you want to teach this lesson, you can call area code 323-693-3054, and then maybe I'll get you on the line. But I don't want you to keep distracting in the chat room while we're trying to teach this lesson, because that is not of God. Where there is no confusion where it comes to God. I need you to understand that. And if you can't respect that, I would ask you to go and get your own show on Blog Talk Radio and do what you do over there. And I'm not trying to be disrespectful. Okay? So this is what I'm telling you. They can't read everything that's going on in the chat room and listen to this at the same time. So either you be respectful and listen, or I'm going to have to kick you out. You make the choice. I just made the choice for you. Okay. It's okay to listen to other people and what they have to say too, because everybody... one person doesn't have all the answers, but when there's distraction and somebody else is trying to teach while somebody else is trying to teach, that's not God. All things must be done decently and in order. Amen. Honey, are you listening? Okay, he's not listening right now. And somebody else has got my attention at the same time, but Jesus is Lord. Let me tell you something. The bottom line is this. If we are in the flesh, we cannot please God. I don't care how we try to sugarcoat it. And for real, if we're still living in the flesh, that means that we don't believe. We are in unbelief. If we're still living in the flesh, if we're still dealing with presumptuous sin, if we're still letting our fleshly desires rule us, we don't believe God. If we're still letting our fleshly desires overtake us, we don't believe that we're new creatures in Christ. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. We don't believe that. We can't possibly believe that we're new creatures in Christ if we're still living a presumptuous, sinful life. How are we going to say we believe God and we're new creatures in Christ, but we're living in sin? How are we going to do that? I just want to know. I just want to know. I know if I'm steady living a life and I'm out there cursing and I'm telling people off and I want to fight at the drop of a hat and I want to do this, I'm still out there fornicating and I'm committing adultery and I'm doing all of this stuff that I know I'm not supposed to be doing. How is that making me a new creature in Christ? I'm still doing the stuff I was doing before. So where's the newness at? Where's the newness? Where's my belief that Jesus really took my penalty for sin, that Jesus made me a new creature? Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. If Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil, why am I still living like the devil if I profess him to be my Lord and my Savior? Something's wrong somewhere. And it, I mean, seriously, if I'm wrong, tell me I'm wrong. But we can't serve God with our mouth, but then with our bodies, you know, and our lifestyles, we're doing something different. God says, this people worship me with their mouth, but their heart is far from me. Can somebody get that scripture for me? These people worship me with their mouth, with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And I want to see if I can find that. These people worship me with their mouth. Oh, I can't spell worship. Yeah, worship me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Matthew 15, chapter 8. And Isaiah 29, 13. Isaiah 29, 13 says, excuse me. It says, wherefore the Lord said, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. Another translation says, the Lord says, these people worship me with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me, and their worship of me is based on rules made by humans. Uh-oh. Uh-oh, did you hear that? The Lord says, these people worship me with their mouths and honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me, and their worship of me is based on rules made by humans. Lord, have mercy. Lord, help us, Jesus. No, none of this Bible is of private interpretation. This Bible was not given for private interpretation. The Word of God is the Word of God. The Word of God is the Word of God. And we have people that are adamant about the Word of God, adamant about the Word of God. And I tell you this, the Word of God is not going to change for us. The Word of God is not going to change for Teresa. The Word of God is not going to change for me, no matter how much I want it to change. It's not going to change for me. I either abide by the Word of God or I don't abide by the Word of God. I either allow the Word of God to wash me and cleanse me, to regenerate my mind, or I don't allow it to wash me and cleanse me and regenerate my mind. It's my choice. If I want to be born again and live like I'm born again, then I can do that. But if I want to keep living a presumptuously sin-filled life, I can do that too. But I'm not going to heaven. I'm not fooling God. I might be fooling some of y'all, but I'm not fooling God. Just like none of you guys would be fooling God, because he knows our heart. We can say what we want to say with our mouth, but it's what's inside of us. It's what's in our heart. And usually whatever is in our heart, oh, it's going to come out. It's not what goes in, it's what comes out that defiles a person. Oh, what's going to come out? We can act like we're holier than thou, but if we're still playing around, we're playing around with the devil and we think we're serving God at the same time, the devil going, let me tell you something, the devil is going to lick you in public. The devil going to lick you in public and make you look like a dummy, crazy, embarrass you, so they can say, I knew she wasn't a Christian. I knew he wasn't a Christian. But guess what? We can't blame them. We got to blame ourselves, because we have control over our vessels. We have the Holy Spirit. And if we want to do right, we will. Because I bet you if we was on the job and the boss said, do XYZ on the job, or you can't do XYZ on the job, you cannot smoke in this building. You cannot smoke anywhere within a 1 mile radius of this building. I bet you wouldn't smoke. I bet you wouldn't. Why? Because your paycheck depends on that. Well, why don't we understand that our eternal life depends on obeying the Word of God? Oh, well, I believe in Jesus Christ. That's what the word says. Well, if you believe in Jesus Christ, your actions will follow. You will study the word of God and you will obey the word of God. You will not keep continuing to live in sin. Why? Because we're obeying the word of God. We're obeying the word of God. We got to obey the word of God. We want to please God. I want to please God. I don't know about y'all. I want to please God. You know, I really want to please God. You know, my husband is on the line. Do you have anything you want to say, Bishop? Amen.
You know truth. We have to be real with the Lord. We have to be real with ourselves. We have to be honest with ourselves. We have to take an inventory of ourselves and see where we really stand with the Lord, for real. Not where we want to stand, but where we need to stand with him. You know, the Lord has always been upfront and honest with us, and he's always been real with us, and we need to begin to be real with him. We need to begin to rededicate ourselves to serving him, not find excuses why not to serve him.
I know, that's
right. Worship
like...
him, not find excuses where we don't have the time and don't have the, it's not the right place and it's not the right opportunity. Lord knows that he praises and worships us. You know, God sometimes worships us. I think it takes worship to lay down your life for other people. That's a sign of worship. That's a sign of reverence. That's a sign of deep abiding love. You know, God did all that through his son, Yahshua, Jesus, for you and I. You talk about sacrifice. We can't even sacrifice a little bit of time, let alone our body and our blood and our lives. You know, I was reading just the other day, I was reading that, you know, 92% of every American household has a Bible, but only 19% read it daily, and only 10% have read it from cover to cover, from Genesis to Revelation. This is the believers. They may own a Bible, but do we live the Bible? They may own the Word of God, but do they live by the Word of God? They may own the Word of God in terms of being in their house somewhere, dusty and crusty and cramped in some little corner somewhere. But do we ever take time just to sit down and read it? And not just read it verbatim in words and, you know, on pages, but to meditate on it, to pray about it, to take it inside of our hearts and begin to live it. I don't know about you, but I want to be more like the Lord. You know, the Lord, when he confronted Satan, he quoted scripture. All three times that he confronted Satan in that wilderness after his 40-day fast, he used the word of God. Deuteronomy was the primary book that he took all of his responses to Satan with. So, yes, Satan tried to quote Psalm 91, and he misquoted it for his own purpose. How many times do we read the Bible and interpret things according to what we want them to be? Like you said, the evangelist, the Bible doesn't need interpretation. The Bible doesn't need us to dissect it and try to explain it. The Bible is self-explanatory. And what we don't understand, all we have to do is just turn to the Holy Spirit. Find a Bible study class. Find a pastor that you can have confidence in that will teach you the word of God. Not just use a one little text and make a message out of it, but really teach the word of God. If you notice in your church, and I'd venture to say every single church out there, at least the majority out there, they may be packed on Sunday, but I'd venture to say that if your Bible study is on Tuesday or Wednesday or Friday, I bet your Bible study is not packed to the rafters. If you have 35,000 people, I bet there's not 35,000 people that are sitting in Bible study class. And yet we want to be more like him. We claim to want to walk like him and talk like him and act like him and live like him. But how can we do that unless we open up the books of instruction, which is the Holy Bible? Thank you, evangelist.
You're welcome. And we want to go back to Romans chapter 6. But before we do that, we have a caller, area code 908. If you have any question or comment that you'd like to give us at this time, you can press the number 1, and that will put you in the caller queue, and we'll get you on the air. We also have area code 215 on the line, 625, but I know she's not going to push the number 1. area code 908. Hello.
Yes, God bless you. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you for having your show today. It's ironic that you're saying this because I was having this conversation with 3 prayer warriors at work today, and we were talking about how we want to get closer to God and how we truly love God. And this morning, even as I was going to work, I was like, God, I want to go to work, but I really wish I had more time to worship you, you know, and be around believers. And I ended up going in the classroom with 3 prayer warriors, and some of the things that I said were, you know, some things that hit home for them. And I, you know, asked if we all could connect. And something that Bishop Jakes was saying was that, you know, a lot of times we do go to the Bible studies and things like that. He said, but we've gotten away from good old-fashioned prayer. He said that his mom and them, they used to pray for an hour. Not that they were having a guest speaker. They were seeking the Holy Spirit for an hour straight. So that's something that I want to get back to, you know, and that's something that I'm going to do with the people that are close to me and my children, you know, because that will empower us. Yes, we're always going to be in church. We're always going to have services, but it's nothing like seeking the Lord for yourself.
So that's the truth. What is your name?
Tina.
Hi, Tina. I'm Teresa.
God bless you.
Thank you for making that comment. And guess what? What you said is true. We have to pray. We have to pray in order to help us through this journey that we call life. We have to pray. I remember when I was younger and I used to be in church, and we used to be on an altar for longer than an hour. We would be on an altar, and the mothers of the church would make sure that we stayed on that altar. And I say this a lot. If they smelled sin on us, we were on that altar. They wouldn't let us up. They didn't put up with, you know, fornication. You know, they didn't care. You know, who our mother was, who our father was. They would pray for our soul. They wasn't doing it to embarrass us. They were doing it because they wanted our souls right with God. They wanted us to make heaven. They didn't want us to go to hell. They wanted us to make it in. And that's why they had us pray like that. And when I was younger, I didn't appreciate that.
Mm-hmm.
Just like if people don't appreciate the word of God right now. They don't appreciate people teaching the truth of the word of God. People want watered down words. You know, people want their flesh satisfied, but no flesh shall glory in the presence of God. No flesh pleases God. It doesn't matter what we say or how we try to justify it. Our flesh will never please God. So if we're living in the flesh, if we're walking after the flesh, we're not pleasing God. I don't care how much you go to church. I don't care how many days you stay in church. I don't care how much you pray. And I'm going to tell you this. Satan don't care how much you pray. He don't care how much you read the Bible, as long as you don't live it. As long as you don't live it, he good with it. You can pray all you want to and get up and still live like the devil. He don't care nothing about that. He don't care nothing about that. But when you start praying and you start walking in authority, in the authority of the name of Jesus, and you start living holy, and you start living like you consecrated and set apart for the God, oh, that's when he starts, like, he don't like it then. He don't like it. There's a lot of people that'll pray for an hour and get right back up and act like the devil.
But evangelist, might have added too. I have a little trepidation about a prayer, not prayer itself, but I wonder what we do when we pray. You know, what is our purpose in praying? Is it to communicate with God? Communication means I listen for his answer. It's not just a one-way street. It's not me talking for an hour, 2, 3, 4 hours. But do we listen? Do we hear? You know, those were in the Word. When Christ prayed, he prayed and fasted in that 40-day fast in the wilderness. But he prayed and fasted to prepare himself for Satan coming in. He prepared himself. Those 40 days weren't just 40 days of refraining from eating, because I call that a diet. That's not a fast. Mm-hmm. But when he fasted, he prayed. He was praying fervently to be strengthened and to be worthy of the brief ministry. Really, when you think about 3-year ministry in terms of our society, that's a very brief time. But even with that brief ministry, he prayed. It was his converted and convinced and beginning his ministry, and he prayed up. He prayed up and prayed himself. What are we praying for? Most of the time, I believe, we pray for petitions. That we really pray to God, asking and requesting and looking and seeking things and situations. But, I think our prayer should be just a prayer of worship and praise sometime. Just to pray, to lift him up sometime. Just to say, thank you, Lord, for everything
thank
you've done and everything you're going to do, and strengthen my resolve to be more like you, Lord. And then, we talked about the Lordship of Christ in our Bible studies for many weeks. And one thing I'll say that when we talk about Lord and Master and Savior and all that, do we really mean what we say?
Mm-hmm.
And is our prayer really to a Lord? Because if a prayer, when we communicate with a Lord, we don't come with a lot of a long list of requests. Not when we go before a master. If I'm a slave doesn't have any requests. A slave just comes to the master to say, what would you have me do, master? That's all a slave does. Slaves don't come with a whole list of, I need you, Lord, to come into this and do this, Lord, and do that. And I'm not saying there's not a portion of our prayer that should not be about petitioning. We know the Lord's Prayer, and part of the Lord's Prayer was a petition. Lord, give me my daily bread. But that was one little line. I think we need to read the Lord's Prayer again to see this the content of the prayer. How much time in the Lord's Prayer, which is the sample prayer, the example prayer, the prayer that we're supposed to emulate, how much time was spent in petitions in that prayer? In that prayer, we come to him acknowledging him being hallowed and holy. That's how we begin, acknowledging him as our Father. And if he's our Father, then, you don't go to your Father out of this and that. You go to your Father right. And yeah, you may have a petition unto your Father, but you're going to him first hallowing his name. Dear Father, my Father, please, will you please? And, there's a sense of, I believe there's a sense of too much of familiarity with God.
This is true, but if you go to your Father, too, you're going to go to your Father respectfully.
And
you're going to go to your Father, most of the time, if you got any sense, you're going to go to your Father, and you're going to make sure that you have obeyed him. Before you even go to him with petitions. Your father told you XYZ, he gave you chores, or he told you to do XYZ, and you didn't do it, but yet you're going to be bold enough to go to your father and say, Daddy, can I have $100? Daddy, can I have $50? Daddy, can I have a car? And you haven't done anything he told you to do.
But see, isn't that sad? Isn't that the way our society is now? See, so I'm in my 60s, and I know what you're talking about. And many are just as old, maybe even if you're in your 40s or older, you understand that. But now children will brazenly go to their earthly human fathers after doing absolutely nothing but sitting on their butt all day. Don't do anything in school worth doing. They get home, they complain if they do any chores at all. You got to remind them of the chores over and over and over again. And they're 18 years old, and they were given that chore when they were 8. But you got to remind them. Johnny, did you take out the trash? Susie, did you wash the dishes? This type of thing. And yet we'll go to him, Dad, can I borrow the car? I got a hot date. Could you give me a couple of dollars to put the $20 in the tank? And another 20 so I can take her out someplace?
Well, I think we do all need to fall back in line, those of us who haven't. I think all of us need to fall back in line with the fear of God,
mm-hmm.
reverencing him as God. We've moved away from reverencing him as holy and righteous God to being our pimp daddy, to being the gimme, being our genie. Gimme God, Santa Claus, gimme God, gimme, gimme, gimme God, gimme God, gimme God. You know, because we have so many people now teaching about prosperity. You know, you as a child of the king, you're supposed to have this. You're supposed to have a mansion on earth. You're supposed to have the finest car. You're supposed to have this and you're supposed to have that. When none of that stuff has anything to do with getting you to heaven. None of this stuff has anything to do with you being holy and righteous. See, what God wants from us is a pure heart. God wants a pure heart from us. And he knows whether our heart is pure or not. See, we think we're fooling God, but God's not fooled. He knows. And just like Tina said, we got to get back to a place where we actually pray. You know, we want this and we want that. We got to pray. We got to seek God and say, God, what, like you said, what would you have me to do today, Lord? Not go to God and say, this is what I want you to do today. Lord, what would you have me to do today?
Well, but to just expand upon that, I mean, like, I'm a pretty honest person. My whole family is Muslim. I'm the only one that's Christian. So for the most part of my life, you know, I was taught to pray 5 times a day and, you know, the things that I needed to correct about myself, and we would go to the masjid once a week and we couldn't even make that. I just felt like I was a fool and I really wanted to worship more. Another thing is that sometimes children are taught, my mother taught me to fear God. I didn't really hear a lot that God loved me, and I don't know if this is just my test, but sometimes when you go through different things in life, you have a choice. You can either be bitter or you can become better. And my mom had passed away, and I just was hungry, so I had to sneak away from my family and sneak to church, and I end up realizing, but my mom always let me go to church, so I realized that, you know, there was nothing wrong with worshiping God that way, and Christianity is, you know, something that I enjoy. So to make a long story short, in the midst of everything that I've done with education and money and children, I still always had that fear and that reverence for God, but sometimes I would doubt a little bit. I mean, I've been praying all of my life, no matter where I go. I know that God hears me. But I listened to this tape one day by Bishop Jakes, and it's called Intimacy with God. And I was listening, and he said, a lot of times, you know, we're talking to people, we're throwing scriptures at them. He said, but what about when people really want to know, does God really love them?
Mm-hmm.
Now, what we're saying is that we're all believers and we're strong. But sometimes even when the Lord wakes me up at 3:00 in the morning and I'm on the floor and I lay prostrate, it's scary sometimes because you can put up a facade in front of people, but it's a difference when you're in front of the Lord. And as much as I know the Lord, I'm 37, but as much as I know the Lord and I'm getting hungry, it's still a fear. And sometimes I'm still afraid. And sometimes you have to make it to where people can still be transparent. People, we have to be able to come to somebody and be real, you know, because that's where the phoniness is coming in.
We do. We do have to be able to. We do need to express the love of God to people, because a lot of people will not come because people don't express the love of God.
And they'll say whatever needs to be said. That's what we're talking about. But they're afraid. And even with me, I know God. And it's an everyday, it's a everyday, you know, it's an everyday thing, you know, and even with us talking, I'm going to be transparent because I don't have anything to hide. I know God, but it's nothing like you really getting that knowing. And I even heard Creflo Dollar saying, sometimes you have to constantly keep saying, God loves me. You know, sometimes you have to snatch yourself away from this world and you have to really get that understanding that God loves me. And when you know that someone loves you, you feel a certain way in their presence, and then that empowers you. But if we really get that understanding that God loves us, not that you're going to hell, you're going to this, people lost the way, they don't even care.
And
if you could
truth.
Get that, yeah, well, but if you could get God loves me, you know, he loves me, I'm breathing. If you get, that's just with me. My ministry and my take will be on love. I believe that you love people to it. Yes, we have those of us that are strong, you know, and their assignment, but it's nothing like love, and that's why God said that we do have to love one another. You know, people, we need love.
Oh, yeah, we definitely need love. No,
don't
be sorry.
I just had to say that.
Don't be sorry. We definitely do need love, but a part of love is telling the truth. You know what I'm saying? You got to tell people the truth of the matter, too, that we cannot continue to live in sin and think God is going to be pleased with that. No, just like with our parents, with our earthly parents, our parents are not pleased with us if we keep disobeying them and keep disrespecting them. They don't want that. They're not pleased with that. They still love us. Of course they still love us, but they're not pleased with our actions, and they want us to do better. And I understand
that. Yeah, but it's the way that the parent does it, because then you have some children when they are 18, they get up and they leave, and you wonder, why don't they come back? Why aren't you taking care of your parents? Like, you're thinking, what in the world type of demon spawn are you that you don't want to take care of your parents? But
demon spawn.
You understand what I'm saying? But if something is wrong. Something went wrong, and that's what I'm saying. It has to be balanced, and that's my prayer. That's the word for me this week is balance.
Yeah, it has to be balanced. It definitely has
to
be balanced. Because God is love. No
mm-hmm.
matter what, God is love. And he said, by loving kindness, I drew them. By loving
mm-hmm.
kindness. He drew us by loving kindness. I didn't come to
mm-hmm.
God because I was all scared. Scared like that. The man that kept asking me every Sunday that I came to church, he said, are you ready to give your life to Christ? Every Sunday that
mm-hmm.
I came to church, that's what he would ask me. Are you ready to give mm-hmm. your life to Christ? He didn't talk about me out there doing what I was doing. He just asked
mm-hmm.
me, was I ready to give my life to Christ? And when I finally said yes, then that
mm-hmm.
was it. But it took
mm-hmm.
me a while to finally say yes. Okay. But then when I got in there, I didn't have anybody to really teach me how to stay out of sin. I would go to church
mm-hmm.
and we would go in there and we would hickey Messiah help me tie my bow tie and all that other stuff. You know, people be running around and, you know, sweating their weave out or, you know, their suit. And if you didn't shout, then you wasn't having church. That was the kind of stuff that I was raised up underneath. Okay. But that wasn't doing anything to help me with my sin problem. Okay, I went to the altar. I said, I confess Jesus as my Lord. I got baptized, child. I got baptized twice. I got baptized in Jesus' name. I got baptized in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Okay? Because they told me I wasn't going to heaven if I didn't get baptized in Jesus' name. But I got baptized anyway, but I still didn't have anybody to teach me how to get my
mm-hmm.
flesh under subjection. There
mm-hmm.
was none of that. It was if you come to church and, you know, you shout and you praise the Lord and this and other, you good. And that's all it. And I would continuously go back out and continuously do what I was doing because I was not being taught. And sometimes people don't want to be taught because it looks like, well, you're too hard. You're too hard. Even my own family has come against me because they say, well, you're too harsh. I don't want to hear nothing you have to say. Well, the reason why I'm too harsh for this particular person is because you're continuously living in sin and you want me to co-sign on it, and I'm not. Now, I've already talked to you about God being love. You already know what the scripture says about God being love, but you keep trying, God, because you keep going out there doing what you're doing. You know what the word says. You're not a baby to this. You know what the word of God says, but you're choosing to still do what you do. That's not something that I'm going to endorse. I know what the word of God says, and I know when God gives me the word on love, he gives me the word on love. And he'll have me minister in love. He'll have me minister, you know, it's not all of this, you know, what we're having here tonight. It's not all of that. But there's a time for everything. And if it's not me, then he'll send somebody else to do it. You understand what I'm saying? And I don't know who's tuning in or whenever they're tuning in. But this one thing that I do know, God is love. And he loves us so much that he wants us to be right before him. He wants us to be right before him. Donna Shaw, I see you there in the caller queue, but if you have anything to say, press the number one, okay? Pastor Sidney McKenzie, if you have anything to say, press the number one, and we'll get you in the caller queue. But God, he loves us so much. And when I think about it, my husband, he plays The Passion of the Christ. I don't know if you guys seen that movie before. But you just look at the way he was wounded for us, the way Jesus was bruised for us, the way he was just, he allowed them to beat him. He allowed them to do that stuff to him. He could have called legions of angels at any time to stop all of that was going on. But he did it. God sent his son for us because he loved us so much. And because he loves us so much, he does not want us to continue in sin. Because the Bible clearly says those that are in the flesh can't please him. If we're in the flesh, how can we please him? We're not pleasing him if we're in the flesh. And if we're not pleasing him, then that makes us his enemy. We can't please God if we're doing what we want to do. We're just ignoring God. Oh, well, I accepted Jesus Christ so I could do what I want to do because Jesus died for the sins of the world. That's why I don't like the gospel of inclusion, because it's a false gospel. It's a false hope. It's falsely teaching people that you can live in sin and do what you want to do because everybody's going to heaven anyway. And that's not true. That's not true. But God gave us free will. We can either serve God or we don't have to. We can serve. Why would Jesus take on all of that beating, being wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquity, and then hanging on a cross? Why would he do all of that if it's okay for us to just continue to live the way we want to live? Why would he have had to do that? That's my question. Why would God, why would he even waste his time to send Jesus if we can still live like we want to live and everything's all good? I don't understand that. And if somebody can clear that up for me, then let me know, because I will never agree with the gospel of inclusion. I don't believe in the gospel of inclusion, because if that's the case, Jesus wouldn't have had to come. Jesus wouldn't have had to come if that gospel of inclusion is all good. I'm serious. So, you know, we have to show love even more than we preach love. We have to show love. But first, we got to show love to God. We got to show him love by obeying him. We got to show him that we love him by obeying him. Do I really love God if I'm walking in disobedience? Do I really love God if I'm doing presumptuous sin? Do I really love God? God loved his people, Israel. He loved the Israelites. He loved those Hebrews. God loved those people so much. But when they kept sinning, when they kept turning their back on God, didn't they have to pay for their sin? Didn't God have to punish them because they directly disobeyed him? Didn't God punish them because they didn't obey him? Yes, he did. Just read through the Old Testament. Just read through the Old Testament. God's not going to let us treat him any kind of way. And then we expect him, oh, well, just open the gates of heaven and let us in. God's not going to just let us treat him any kind of way and think, okay, it's all good. I told God to, you know, here's my backside, Lord. God don't want, God wants us to love him. He gave us life. He gave us life abundantly when we accepted Jesus Christ. He caused us to be new creatures in Christ Jesus. Old things are passed away. Old things are passed away. Old things are passed away. And behold, all things are made new. But we have to know this. We have to know this. I'm not the same person. I am not the same Teresa. The old Teresa will cuss you out and think nothing of it. The old Teresa will try to run you over with her car. The old Teresa will pick up a knife in a heartbeat and try to stab you. Okay? The old Teresa will do all kind of things that was ungodly and unchristlike. But then when God began to show me his word, he began to reveal his word to me. He began to show me that, look, girl, that stuff right there you're doing is not right. Even when Peter was with Jesus, when the people came to arrest Jesus and Peter cut the man's ear off, what did Jesus do? He put the man's ear back on. Jesus wasn't there to fight those people. He was there to fulfill what he came to this earth to do. But Peter, you know, he all in his flesh, oh, wait a minute, poof, and going to cut the man's ear off. That wasn't what Jesus was here for. Jesus could have cut his ear off. He could have killed him right there. He could have done anything, just spoke the word, and the man could have just fell dead right there. But Jesus came on this earth to fulfill his purpose. And his purpose was to be wounded for our transgressions, be bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace upon him, and with his stripes were healed, and to go to that cross and take our sins. It is finished up on the cross. His work here is finished. When he bowed his head on that cross. So what we have to do is we have to devour the word of God. We have to seek God in prayer and fasting. We have to forge a relationship with God. So we can desire him and his ways. So we can desire to live right. I want to live right. I don't know, that old Teresa, she was crazy. You know, and sometimes she tries to rear her ugly head, yes. You know, talking about transparency. Sometimes that old nature sneaks up, and then I have to get back in my word. I have to tell my flesh, you're going to obey God. You're going to obey the word. That's what we have to do. This is why I hate the gospel of inclusion. And I did contact the person who started, well, he didn't actually start it, but he made it more famous. He added more fuel to it, the gospel of inclusion. And I haven't heard back from them yet because I asked them to be on my broadcast because I want to talk to you about the gospel of inclusion and why you're spreading this. Why don't you know that Jesus loves you so much that he died for you? He died for you so you don't have to live in sin any longer. And then when we do live our lives to please him, to live our lives trusting him, to live our lives obeying him, our eternal life will be with him. He says in Revelation, he tells you who's not going in. You're not going into the city. You're not going into the new city. Uh-uh. So we got to live a life that's pleasing to God, and we have to fear God, reverential fear. We need to be scared of him anyway because he's God. He could just take us at any moment and do what he want to do. We keep living in disobedience and rebellion, but we need to have a reverential fear. We need to have a reverential fear. I remember I went to court, and just recently I went to court, but you could look at court on TV and anywhere, and you say as soon as the judge comes in, everybody has to stand up. They have, that's in reference, you know, being reverential to this person. You got to stand up. And then you don't sit down until the judge say you may be seated. This is a human just like me and you. And we respect them because that's what they tell us to do. When God gave us his word for us to respect him, for us to obey him so we can live righteous and holy. See, we're not doing it for God per se. We're doing it for us. God is already holy. God is already sanctified. God is already God. He don't need to be renewed in the spirit of his mind. He is already God. He did this for us because he loves us so much. He loves us so much that he doesn't want us to know anything about a lake of fire. He doesn't want us to experience that no way, shape, or form. It wasn't even made for us. But because of sin, and God loves us so much that he wants us to come out of sin, come out of sin, come out of rebellion, come out of being stiff-necked and disobedient, come out of that and love God. What is so hard about that? To just love God and obey him. If you love him, if we love him, we want to please him. If we love God, we want to please him. If we love God, we want to please him. In this moment, I'm not even talking about going to hell. I'm talking about loving God just because he is God. Love him. Read through the Bible and see what God did for us. Read through the Bible and see how much God loves us. And then we can forge a love for him. God gave us his word. That's his way of pursuing after us. He gave us his spirit. That's his way of pursuing after us. We need to pursue him. We need to pursue righteousness. We need to chase after righteousness. I know with my husband, before we got married, that man pursued me. He was relentless. You heard? He was relentless. He made sure I became his wife. He would not let it go. He made sure I became his wife. He was determined that Teresa was going to be his wife. And that's almost 14 years ago that I said yes. Because he pursued me and he showed me his love. And that's the same thing with God. God is pursuing us right now and showing us his love. He's given us another day to get this thing right. He's given us another day to seek him with our whole heart. He's given us another day to worship him, true worship. Because he said, there's come a time where they're going to have to worship me in spirit and in truth, where the true worshipers will worship me in spirit and in truth. The true worshipers will worship me in spirit and in truth. The true worshipers will worship him in spirit and in truth. Not coming to God trying to change his word. Not coming to God to try to change his character. Not coming to God and telling God it's 2013. You need to change your word because we can't live like this now because there's too much going on in 2013, God. You need to relax your word. God, I worship you because you are God. You are the creator of life. You made the moon and the stars and all that stuff up there, and it's still hanging up there. It is and hasn't fallen to the ground yet. You did that. You speak to the waters and tell the waters it can't go any further, and it won't go any further. God, you are God alone. And he just wants our worship. He wants our obedience. He wants us to love him like he loved us. And if we love somebody, we're not going to purposely hurt them. If we love somebody, we're not going to continue in presumptuous sin. If we love God for real like we say we do, we're going to do everything we can to mortify the deeds of this flesh. If we really love God. If we really love God, do we really love God? And we read in the book of Romans, it says in Romans chapter 6, verse 11, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Be dead unto sin and alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And verse 12 says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Let not sin therefore reign. Don't let sin live in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. Don't obey sin. Get that mess out of there. Verse 13 says, neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God. But yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. This is what the word of God says. I didn't write it. Verse 14 of Romans chapter 6 says, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. Sin shall not have dominion over you. Verse 15 says, what then? Shall we sin? Because we're not under the law, we don't have to take turtle doves and goats and bulls and rams and all that stuff. Shall we continue to sin because we're not under the law but under grace? Paul says, God forbid. Verse 16, it says, know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom you obey? Whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness? But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. This is what Paul was writing, explaining to us that we're made free from sin. We don't have to sin. We think about what Jesus did on that cross. Mm-mm. We're not even going to want to sin. We think about the blood that Jesus shed for us. Mm-mm. We're not going to want to sin. We're not going to want to sin. I'm talking about keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Not let them not have dominion over me. Keep back, Teresa, from presumptuous sin. Let it not have dominion over me. Keep back whatever your name is. You say, keep back your servant also from presumptuous sin, Lord. Let it not have dominion over me. You took this upon you on the cross. I don't have to live sin anymore. I don't have to be alive to sin anymore. I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. I'm a new creature in Christ. All things are passed away, and behold, all things are made new. I'm not the same old person. I'm not who I used to be. I'm not the same person. I've been saved. I've been redeemed. Glory to God. Glory to God. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Glory to God. And yet some of us still walk around acting like we don't know that we've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And yet some of us walk around still acting like we haven't been bought with a price. Yet some of us still walking around acting like, what? The old man. All I can do is tell you the word of God. All I can do is obey the word of God myself. That's all I can do. I would ask you today that if you're having a problem with presumptuous sin, that you would pray, that you would give your life really for real over to the Lord Jesus Christ. I would pray, I would ask you to pray, that if you still have a stronghold or there's something in your life that's still causing you to sin or still causing you to desire to still live in the world and to still do the things of the world, those things that are not pleasing to God, I would ask you to pray. I would ask you to say, God, I want you, I just want to know you, and I want to know Jesus for real in the pardoning of my sins. I want to know what that really means. I want to know what it really means that you loved me so much that you gave your son, that whosoever believes on him should not perish but have everlasting life. I want to know what that really means. And God, I heard the young lady on there talking about love, the love of God. And God, I heard that you love me, but I really want to know that you love me. God, I want to please you. I don't want to do anything that's displeasing to you. I want to serve you. I don't want to serve sin anymore. But God, I need you. I need you to help me. I want to be your daughter. I want to be your son. I want to be holy. But God, for real, can I just be truthful to you? There's some things in the world that I still want to do. There's some things I still want to do. I'm not ready to let go yet. But God, I want to please you. So if it means letting these things go to please you, God, I need you to help me. I need you to help me. You know, God can deal with a heart that goes to him like that. God can deal with a heart that goes to him like that. He doesn't want us to, you know, put on airs and this and the third. God knows us anyway. But if we would just go to God humbly, if we just go to him in reverential fear and say, God, I'm trusting you with my life. Here I am. I will serve you. I want to serve you, Lord. I want to be a servant of righteousness. I want to be holy before you, Lord God. And I need you to help me. You think he won't help you? Oh, yes, he will. He will definitely help you. I know he will. I know he will. And it's not hard. It's not hard. And if we begin to live right and live holy before God, we don't have to be afraid. Oh God, I'm so scared of you. I'm so scared of you. We won't have to be afraid because we'll have that loving relationship with him. But we will have that reverential fear. Do like my husband said and read the Lord's Prayer. Study the Lord's Prayer. But trust God. Trust God's love. Trust God's love for you because he loves you. He loves me. He loved this whole world that he gave his only begotten son. That whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. That which is born of flesh is flesh, but that which is born of spirit is spirit. Jesus said, marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. Must be born again. Marvel not. Don't laugh at it. Don't take it lightly. Don't think it's funny. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. Born of the water and of the Spirit. Amen. Amen. That's all I have for right now. Donna Shaw, you're still on the line. If you have anything you'd like to say, please press the number 1. My husband's on the line. I'm going to see if Lady Keisha has anything to say. Let's see.
Lady Keisha? Hello? Okay, I don't know where Lady Keisha went, but I don't hear her. So I guess she's not on the line. Okay, so Donna Shaw is not pushing the line, the number one. So I don't really have anything else to say about this right now. So I would just pray us out. I thank you, everyone, for joining us on tonight, Patriot Greg, Bible Truth by Benny, to my husband, Bishop Gerald Scott, my sister, Celestine. We had some other people in the chat room, but they left, and a couple of guests just showed up. And we just thank God for everybody who joined us on tonight. So we just want to tell God thank you. Father, we thank you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for giving us your word. Thank you for your love. Thank you, God, for your word that brings reproof, correction, and instruction. Lord God, we understand that your word, Lord God, is given to us so that we might know you and so that we might live right. So, Father, we just say thank you, Lord God. We just bless your holy name, God. We just glorify you. Father, we just say thank you, Lord God, because you loved us so much. You love us so much that you don't even want us to go to hell. You love us so much that you sent your son Jesus. You love us so much with a perfect love. Help us to love you back. Help us to love you back, Lord, and to show our love to you by our obedience to you. We don't want to be like your word says, these people worship me with their lips and with their mouth, but their heart is far from me. We don't want to be those people. We want to worship you. We want to love you because you are God and you love us with a perfect love. So, Father, we just say thank you. 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 We just say thank you for your love and thank you for your grace. Thank you for your grace and thank you for your mercy. And Father, we just resolve it in our hearts that we will obey you. We will walk in the Spirit, Lord God, so we will not fulfill the lust of our flesh. And Father, we just give you praise for it right now. We give you glory and we give you honor in the mighty, matchless name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Amen. Honey, do you have a comment before we close out? Okay. He said no, not now, but we didn't hear him on the phone line. So God bless you, everyone. Thank you again so much for joining us. Have a God-blessed night. Sweet sleep, and if the Lord says the same, we'll be back on Friday. God bless you, Bible Truth by Benny and Patriot Greg and my sister, Shirley Celestine, and guest 10544. All right, good night.
Good night.
Amen.